Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sochim Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We will begin today's shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Chof Ches. The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah back on Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah had been describing how one rids oneself of chometz. We had seen Shitas Rabbi Huda that said Bisrefa, Shitas Rabbi Huda being Ein Biur Chometz Ela Bisrefa, and now the Shitas Chachomim that said Mefarer Vizora Loruach O Matil Liyam. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we notice Roman numerals 1 and 2 are featured. On this, and under that, we've written Shnei Halachas. These represent two Halachas, two laws, Shebohem Mofia Hatolas Ha'isur Liyam, where the Gemara describes the throwing, the casting of that which is prohibited into the sea. Topic 1, Chometz. Topic 2, Avodah Zorah, idols. HaGemara Mevareres Im Tzrichim Leforum Lefneichem. The Gemara will clarify or analyze whether you have to crumble them, crush them, before throwing them into the sea. So now we turn to the Gemara. The Chachomim Omrim, Mefara Vizora Vechule. The Mishnah had said, according to the Chachomim, that one takes his chometz, and Mefara is to crumble it, Vizora Loruach, cast it into the wind, Oy Matil Layam, or cast it into the sea. Ibayalo Hechi, Komar Gemara asks, how are we to understand the Mishnah? There are two possibilities, and you can see we have an Aleph, the next line, Beis. Aleph, the first possibility, Mefara Vizora Loruach, Umefaru Matiliam, that the Mishnah's reference to Mefarer goes on both solutions, namely crumbling it and casting it into the wind, or crumbling it and casting it into the sea. Oy Dilma, another possibility is Mefarer Vizora Loruach, when it comes to casting the chometz into the wind, so then there's an expectation that you crumble it first. Avol, matiliyam be'inei. However, when it comes to casting it into the sea, one casts the loaf as it is. Utna nami gabi avodah zorah ki haigavno. With regard to idolatry, we have something similar. Rav Yossi Omer, in the terms of the destruction of idols, idols being something forbidden to have, they are Osir Bahano, they're forbidden to benefit from. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shochek Vizora Luruach Oi Matiliam. Rabbi Yossi says one crushes them and then casts them into the wind or into the sea. The Bayaloho, and the question there is raised, Hechi Komer, how are we to understand that source? Shochek Vizora Luruach Vishochek Umatiliam. Grind it up and cast it to the wind, or grind it and then cast it into the sea. In other words, before casting it into the sea, the idol has to be ground up. Oy dilma, shochek vizora l'ruach avol matil liyam be'enei. However, when it comes to throwing it into the sea, according to this possibility, one would cast it into the sea be'enei as it is, without any need to crush it, to grind it down. So we have two topics. The two Roman numerals, number 1 and 2, one dealing with chometz, the second dealing with idols, and the issue is, before casting it into the sea, either one of them into the sea, is there a crushing, crumbling, grinding requirement or not? Omar Rava. Now, we have here two approaches. Number 1 is Rava, and a few lines later, you'll see Rav Yosef. So Rabbah says, Mistabro Avodah Zorah de Liyam HaMelech Kozla. With regard to idols, the sea that is mentioned is the salt sea. And as such, lo bo ishchika, since it's cast into the salt sea, it doesn't require any crushing. The sea itself will cause its disintegration. Chometz dushar naros kozil, chometz, which is cast into any body of water, any of the other rivers, bo'i pur, it requires crumbling beforehand. Omer le Rav Yosef, adarabo. Rav Yosef says, to the contrary, ipcho mistarba, the opposite is more likely. Avodah zorah delo memisa, idols that on their own they don't disintegrate, they don't melt. So boi shchika, an idol would need to be ground down before casting into the water. Chometz demimis, chometz, loaf of baked bread, any chometz item on its own will melt. Lo boi shchika, it doesn't require it. Lo boi pure, it doesn't require crumbling. So we have two approaches, two opposite approaches, if you will. Tanya kavosei de Rabo, Tanya kavosei de Rav Yosef. And in fact, we have Tanaic sources supporting each one of these approaches. Tanya kavosei de Rabo. We have a Tanaic source supporting Rabo that it's with regard to the chometz that one needs to crumble it before casting it into the water. The source says, Hoyam halech ben midbar. One is walking in the desert, mefar v'zor l'urach. He crumbles his chometz and casts it into the wind. Hoya mahalach b'sfina, or if he's sailing on a boat, mafar umatil liam. So you see here a reference to the crumbling before casting into the sea. Of course, with regard to chometz, tanya kavosei de Rav Yosef. We have a Tanaic source supporting Rav Yosef. Now we should point out, maybe it's obvious, but the term for crumbling when it comes to bread is mefarer. Pirurim are crumbs. And when it comes to something that's metallic, like is the case with idols, metallic statues, the term that's used is shchika, to grind it down. So that in these sources, even though you don't see a reference to what item is being discussed, the verb itself is a giveaway. So that when it's the source we just read, you saw mefarer, you know that's a reference to chometz. In this source, you'll see the word shochek, that's dealing with something metallic, the idols, hence you know it's referring to the idols. The shochek term, the verb shochek, grinding, is a reference to idols. This information is culled from Rashi himself. Now, the second source, as we said, that supports Rav Yosef, that the idol requires being ground down. Tanya kavosei de Rav Yosef, hoya mahalech bamidbor, shochek v'zora l'ruach. He was walking in the desert, and he has an idol. He grinds it down, casts it into the wind. Hoya mahalech b'sfina, shochek umatil liyam. He is to grind it down, and then cast it into the water. So now that we have these two Tanaic sources, each one of the Amoroyim we had before, Rabo and Rav Yosef, have to deal with the fact that there is a source against each one. Shchika kashya l'Rabo, the source that talks about shchika, the grinding down of the idol, is a problem for Rabo. As Rabo said, that in the case of the idol, there is no need for grinding down. Pirur kashya l'Rav Yosef, the source that spoke about the first of these sources that spoke about the crumbling of the chometz before casting into the sea, is a difficulty for Rav Yosef, for he said that chometz melts it on its own. Even if you cast it into the water whole, that is sufficient. The Gemara responds, Shchiko l'rabo lokashia, the need for grinding the idol as reflected in the source is not a problem for Rabo. Ha liyam hamalach, ha lishar naros. It all depends. If you're casting it into the salt sea, so then there's no need for grinding it down. The source that spoke about the need for grinding the idol, that is ha lishar naros. That's when you'd be casting the idol into other rivers. Pirur l'Rav Yosef lo kashya, the need for grinding down the chometz is not a problem for Rav Yosef. Ha b'chiti, ha b'nahama. It depends. If you're dealing with actual grains of wheat that fermented, that became chometz, they require grinding down. Now, you might ask, well, aren't grains already practically ground down by virtue of their small size? So Rashi says, b'chiti shechmitzu, grains of wheat that fermented, boy pirur, they require pirur, klomar, pizur, meaning they need to be scattered, shalayitnein besat vizurkeim, don't pack seeds, wheat grains that are fermented into a sack, the yizur came and throw them thusly into the water. Elo yafazrim alpnei mayim, scatter them on the water. Shelo yuchal odom lelakdon me'al pnei mayim, so that no one comes to collect these fermented wheat grains from the water. So that is where pirur is. Pirur then would be associated rather with pizur, scattering them. And hal b'nahamo, that is what Rav Yosef himself was talking about, was a loaf of bread that does not require scattering because it will decompose on its own by virtue of the fact that it's in a body of water. We now approach a new Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the side under our No Sour topic heading. Chometz Shovar Olof HaPesach. A person was in possession of chometz and throughout the Pesach holiday, and now we're talking about Pesach has passed. We will talk about Shel Nachri, chometz of a non-Jew, and Shel Yisrael, chometz owned by a Jew. HaGemora Shoeles, the Gemara will ask, Moni Masnisen, who is the author of our Mishnah? Yesh Lohair, we have to point out, Shagemora Tatzig Sholosh Deis Tanoim, HaMuvlotim B'Simun, trapezoid, this trapezoid shape. In other words, the Gemara will present three Tanaic opinions, and the names are highlighted with this trapezoid shape. And these three Deos Tanoim are Be'inyan, Hazmanim, Hashoinim, Hakshurim, Le'isur Chometz. They reflect or they concern different time periods that are associated with the prohibition of chometz. The Besof Omid Beis, when we get to the end of Omid Beis, Choseres Vishos Moni Maslisen, the Gemara will ask again who is the author. And if you can skim ahead, you will notice at the bottom of Chof Ches Omid Beis the Gemara's question, Moni Maslisen. So now we start the Mishnah. Chometz shel nochri she'ovar olov ha-pesach mutter b'hano. Chometz that was owned by a non-Jew it existed through the holiday of Pesach, and now you've arrived at Motzoi Pesach, the end of Pesach. That's the holiday is passed, and this chometz is still around. Mutter b'hano, you are allowed to benefit from it. V'shel Yisrael, chometz that was owned by a Jew throughout Pesach, in other words, the chometz was extant in the possession of a Jew, osur b'hano, it's forbidden to benefit from that, shenemar lo yireh lecho sa'or. Now, we take a look at Rashi, mishum shenemar lo yireh lecho, the Gemara meforesh, the Gemara will explain, mishum knosa. This is a rabbinic fine. The Ovar Ole Mishum Bayra. This is a person, and this chometz was owned by a person who violated the Torah prohibition of Lo Yeroeh. And it shouldn't be, literally shouldn't be visible, it should not be in your possession through Pesach. It's true, the holiday has passed, but since he was in violation of this, so we impose this restriction on him, saying you cannot benefit from it, even though it's after Pesach. Now the Gemara asks, Moni Masnisen, who is the author of our Mishnah? Notice we have a star here to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and an indication that there is a reference to this at the bottom of Omid Beis. So the Gemara asks, who is the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, velo Rabbi Shimon, velo Rabbi Yossi Haglili. It is not in conformity to any one of these three Tanoim. Mahi, what is the source in which these Tanoim are featured? The Sanya. So here we have a source, and you can note it ahead of time that it's a rather long source. The strategy here is to present the Tanaic source. The Gemara, at the conclusion of the source, will then ask, Mai Taimo de Rabbi Yehuda. You'll see that we're going to be using diamonds. If you skim ahead to Omid Beis, you'll see diamond where the names of the Tanoim are highlighted in the context of each one's Shita. Where do they, what is the basis of each one's Shita? So now the source. Chometz, bein lifnei zmano, bein la'achar zmano, over olev balav. Chometz, whether it's before the zman. Now Rashi says, bein lifnei zmano, mishe shos ad shetechshach, that it's the time before the holiday itself, which is in effect from noon of Yud Dalid Nisan until darkness. So that would be lifnei zmano, before the time of Pesach itself. La'achar zmano is after Pesach has passed. Over olov balav, that chometz will subject the owner to a violation of a negative command. However, if he eats chometz on the 14th of Nisan after noon, or he eats chometz that was extant throughout the Pesach holiday and eats it after Pesach, he will not be guilty of the kores penalty, the kores punishment that's associated with eating of chometz. However, toich zmano, during the holiday itself, over olov belav vikores, one would be in violation not only of the negative command, but he'd be guilty of a kores punishment as well. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Rabbi Shimon Omer, chometz lifnei zmanu la'achar zmanu einoi oiver olov belo klum. Rabbi Shimon is much more lenient, namely before the actual holiday and after the holiday. Chometz that passed through the holiday, now you're after the holiday, there is no violation whatsoever. In terms of from the Torah's perspective, there's no violation. Toch zmano over olov b'kores ubalav. However, during the holiday itself, so there is the kores penalty and the negative command of the Torah. You can see with our markings there's a semicolon that indicates that the continuation is not a direct flow of what we just read. In other words, what you're going to see, and the Gemara itself will point out on the next line, and we have this in brackets, that this phrase is actually Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Umishah she'osir ba'achila, osir ba'ano. From the time that it's forbidden to eat chometz, it is also forbidden to benefit from chometz. That is aso'on l'tanakama. This is the Gemara interrupting, so to speak, the Brisa, this Tanaic source, and pointing out that this last point, Mishal Shalsu Bachil Asvano, is in accordance with the first opinion, that of Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Yossi Haglili Omer, Toma Atzmacha, you should be amazed at yourself. Heich Chometz Asur Bano Kol Shiva. How can there be a prohibition of benefiting from Chometz throughout the entire holiday? In other words, according to Rav Yossi Haglili, chometz is prohibited in terms of eating it, but not in terms of benefiting. Uminayin la'ochel chometz misheishos l'malashu oiver b'loisaseh. And this, of course, will be Rabbi Yehuda. From where do you know that? From where would one know that eating chometz after the passing of the sixth hour of Erev Pesach, Shu Oivir Belosa, said that he is in violation of a negative command. Shenema, well, the Pasuk says, Loi Soichal Olav Chometz. And this Pasuk is in the context of the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach. So, from the time that one would slaughter the Korban Pesach, which just so happens to be after the sixth hour of the 14th of Nisan, so it says, you shall not eat chometz at that time. So you have lo sohal is a negative command. That's the lo sa'aseh that we were looking for. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Omar lo Rabbi Shimon. V'chi'ev shaloma kein. Is it possible to say that there's an iser of eating chometz from the Torah on Erev Pesach? V'alo kvar ne'amar, the pasuk says, lo sohal olav chometz, shivas yomim toichal olav matzois. In this pasuk, you see that the prohibition of chometz is associated with the 7 days that one eats matzah. Not before, just during those 7 days. Im kein ma tamud lomar lo yisochal olav chometz. So then what are we to make of that pasuk, the pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda cited? Answer, b'shal sheyeshno b'kum echol matzah, yeshno b'bal toichal chometz. When you are commanded to eat matzah, that is when you are forbidden in the eating of chometz. U'b'shah she'eino b'kum echol matzah, when you are not obligated in eating the matzah, for example, Erev Pesach, eino b'bal toichal chometz. You are not prohibited in the eating of chometz. Now we look into the reasons behind these Tanoia. My time of Rabbi Yehuda. What is the basis of Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? Let's not forget, Rabbi Yehuda said that there's a negative command concerning Chometz before the actual holiday, during the 6 hours preceding the actual holiday on the 14th of Nisan, and there is a negative command concerning Chometz that was extant throughout the Pesach holiday, and now you've arrived at the point of time after the holiday. So Rav Yehuda says, the Gemara says, Tlosa Kroik Sibir, there are 3 psukim. Lo Yeocheil Chometz, that's in Shmois Perek Yud Gimel Posuk Gimel. Number 2, V'chol Machmetzes Lo Sochelu. And number 3, Loi Soichal Olav Chometz. 3 psukim, each one having a negative command regarding the eating of chometz. Chad Lifnei Zmano, one is a reference to the time before the actual holiday. V'chad Li'achar Zmano, another posuk is for the time after the holiday, namely chometz that was around throughout Pesach, and now it's Ovar Olav HaPesach. So there's a negative command eating that chometz. V'chad l'soich zmano, and one negative command regarding chometz during Pesach itself. For Rabbi Shimon, chad l'toch zmano. There is a posuk to indicate there's a lav, a negative command during the holiday itself, eating chometz during the holiday itself. Rabbi Shimon, don't forget, is the shita that holds that before Pesach and after Pesach there is no negative command. So one of the 3 psukim is true. That's for the time period of the holiday itself, that there's a negative command concerning eating of chometz. Let's just point out structurally that the Rabbi Shimon preoccupation lasts a number of lines, hence we have a long marking here. The next posuk, the chol machmetzes, that posuk, miboya lei lichvitanya, he needs that for the following teaching. Einli elosh nis chametz me'elov. Chometz that is forbidden, I would think, if I had just one source, I would think that it's a reference to a batter that fermented on its own. Machmas dover acher minayin. Let us say it fermented because of some outside ingredient that you added to it. How do you know that that's also forbidden? Talmud Lomar, kol machmetzis lo sochelu. Whether it fermented inherently or internally or through some added ingredient or substance, either way, it's chometz. And that we learn from this second pasuk. Lo ye'ochel chometz. From this pasuk from Shmos Yud Gimel, pasuk Gimel. Miboya lei lichedetanya. I need it for the following teaching. Now, before we go on with this teaching that's in the source, let us point out on the side of the Gemara, we've written partial psukim. Shmos Yud Gimel, pasuk Gimel, says, lo, at the end of the pasuk, it says, velo ye'ochel chometz. And the next pasuk Yudal says, hayoyim atem yoitzim. B'chodesh Aviv, a pasuk referring to the Exodus from Mitzrayim. So now we read the source, the Lecha D'Tanya. The source says, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Omer Minayin LePesach Mitzrayim, Shein Chimutzo Noheg El Yoim Echod. From where do we know that the prohibition of chometz during the Pesach experience, we'll call it the Pesach holiday, that took place at the point they left Mitzrayim, in other words, the very first Pesach ever celebrated was a Pesach that had only one day of chometz prohibition. From where do we know that? Talmud Loimar, Lo ye'ochel chometz v'somich lei hayoyim atem yoitzim. And as Rashi presents it, you would really read it Lo ye'ochel chometz hayom. In other words, there's no punctuation in the Torah, and therefore there's this possibility of reading "Don't eat chometz today," namely a one-day prohibition. We continue with analyzing what does each one of the Tanoim that we've seen so far, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, do with the other one's sources. Rabbi Yehuda, machmas dover acher minole. Where does Rabbi Yehuda learn that which Rabbi Shimon learned from the Chol Machmetzes, namely that chometz that became chometz through Dover Acher, through out some kind of additional ingredient that caused the fermentation, that's included in the Torah's prohibition of chometz? The Gemara says, V'da'afke rachmona b'loshon machmetzes. From the fact that the Torah chose that particular term, not as Reb Shimon said, the presence of the pasuk indicates that, but the term machmetzes clues us into this idea or this phenomenon of ischametz midover acher. The Gemara continues, the Rabbi Yosi Haglili Minole. The idea of Pesach Mitzrayim being one day, from where does he, Rabbi Yehuda, know that? From the fact that the word Hayom comes right next to the Pesach that said Lo Ye'ochel Chometz, so Hayom indicates one day. But as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, the Lo Ye'ochel Chometz, that itself was needed for one of his three lavim. Iboyasema, another approach, smuchin lo dorish. Rabbi Yehuda, since you're not in Sefer Dvorim, here we're dealing with a pasuk from Sefer Shmois, Rabbi Yehuda, does not darshan, he doesn't see anything special, anything novel in the fact that two psukim might be next to one another. And the result of that would be that he doesn't, Darshan doesn't come to the same conclusion of Rabbi Yosi Haglili. Rashi points out that Rabbi Yehuda only in Sefer Dvorim Darshan's smuchin, but not outside of that. Omar Mar, a quote from that which we saw above. You see we have a little arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can scan up and you'll see where this is coming from. Before we go further, though, on the side of the Wonder Hour No Say heading, we've written Machloikis Tanoim Beinyan Achilas Chometz Be'erev Pesach Mishei Shos Umalo. The Tanaic controversy regarding eating of chametz on the Yudalid Nisan, Erev Pesach, from 6 hours, from beyond 6 hours of the day. It means the afternoon time period. And a second point of discussion, Mekoros Lechovas Matzo Midoraisa Bizman Azeh, sources that there is a Torah requirement of eating matzah nowadays, now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and we don't have a Korban Pesach. So now the Gemara. Omar Mar, Uminayin lo'oichel chometz mishesh shos lemala, shu oiver below saseh. From where do we know that one who eats chometz beyond the sixth hour of the day of Erev Pesach, the Yud Dalet Nisan, that he is in violation of a negative command? Shenemar lo'i soichal olov chometz. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Omar lo Rabbi Shimon, v'chiev shalomar kein. Is it possible to say that there's a chometz prohibition on Erev Pesach, lo kvar ne'amar, lo sochav chometz, shivas yom tochlav matzos? That the Torah says, don't eat chometz during the 7 days of Pesach. That's exclusionary of Erev Pesach. That seems to be a fairly strong point. V'Reb Yehuda, shapir kamalei Rebbe Shimon. In turning to Rebbe Yehuda, we say, is it not so that Rebbe Shimon says well? Rebbe Yehuda Amaloch, Rebbe Yehuda will respond. And as is often the case in many, many Gemaras throughout Shas with Gemara markings, we'll squiggle, underline the names as they appear in a give-and-take situation, and that's what we've done over the next several lines. So Rebbe Yehuda Amaloch, he will answer, Hahu l'koivoy choiv afil bizman azeh huda asa. This pasuk of Lo Yisachal of Chomei Shivas Yomim is to establish the obligation of eating matzah even nowadays. Let us glance at the Rashi, the upper third of the page. L'koivoy choiva hai shivas yomim toichal olov matzos. That phrase, lav la'kushi isur chometz l'mitzvah sechilas matzah also, it's not coming to compare, to make a connection between the prohibition of chometz with the eating of matzah. In other words, it's not coming to do that which Rabbi Shimon claimed. Elo, la'kushi achilas matzah, la'zhoras chometz. But rather, it's to compare the eating of matzah to the prohibition of chometz. L'kvoa achilas matzah choiva l'doros. To establish that there is an obligation to eat matzah through the generations, calls man shu muzer ala chometz v'afilu bizman shein pesach. All time periods of history when he's warned against eating chometz, so he is also obligated to eat matzah, even at a time period when there is no korban pesach, there's no pesach sacrifice. The lo tamo. Don't say the following, and you'll notice the what you're not supposed to say is included in a singular quotation marks, four lines of Rashi. What this is what one should not think. The pasuk says al matzus merm yochluhu ksiv, and the al the yochlu is a pronoun. You shall eat it. That means, it's a reference to the korban pesach. Eat it with matzah and moror. E iko pesach. If there is a korban pesach mechavchis matzah, then you're obligated in matzah. V'i lo lo. And if there's no korban pesach, so you're not obligated in matzah. Well, all of that you're not supposed to say, and that's what we learn from shivas yomim toichal olov matzos. We continue now in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon l'kovu choivo menole. Where does Rabbi Shimon learn that there's an obligation even nowadays to eat matzah on on Pesach? Nafkale miboerev tochlu. This posuk is considered a kro yisera, as Rashi says. After all, you have a posuk that already says amatzus from yochlu. So, what does boerev tochlu matzos mean? It's an extra posuk establishing that there's an obligation nowadays as well to eat matzah. For Bihuda miboyale, Rabbi Yehuda needs the posuk of boerev tochlu matzos. this is a throwback to the time period of the Korban Pesach, that a person was, let's say, tomei, was defiled, or he was at a distance from the Beis HaMikdash. These are people that could not process a Korban Pesach. So even though they didn't do a Korban Pesach, they nevertheless were chayev in eating matzah. Saka daita chamina, one might have thought, hoyol ube pesach lo yochal, since he will not be eating the Korban Pesach, he's tome or he is far away, matzumor nami lo nechol, he shouldn't be eating matzumor either. Komash malon, the posuk bo'erev tochul matzahs tells us that even though he's not going to be doing the Korban Pesach, he will be obligated in eating matzah. For Rabbi Shimon, Tomei Shebedech Rechoiko, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, these two cases, Lo Yitzrich Kro, they don't need a posuk to inform me that they're obligated in eating matzah. To Lo Gora Me Orel Ben Nechor, they, the Tomei and Derech Rechoiko, are not any worse. Goras, they're not any worse, they're not any weaker than the case of an Orel or a Ben Nechor. Orel is someone who is uncircumcised, and a Ben Nechor is someone who is not observant of the Torah. Rashi says, Mishin is nakru maisav lovav shibashamayim velo lekol haTorah. The Gemara points out that regarding the Orel and Ben Nechor dechtiv, the chol Orel lo yochal bo, the uncircumcised individual shall not eat from it. Now the word bo is a reference to the Korban Pesach, and it's also a word from which we draw an inference. Bo hu einu ochel, the uncircumcised will not eat from a Korban Pesach. Aval ochel hu b'matzah morah, but matzah morah he will be obligated to eat. So Reb Shimon says, once I know that an orel or ben nechor is obligated in matzah, so of course the Tomei or Derech Rechoka will be obligated in matzah. I don't need an additional pasuk for them. For Rabbi Yehuda, who did require a pasuk for the Tomei Derech Rechoka, he says, Ksiv Behai, Uksiv Behai. It says by the Orel, the whole Orel, Lo Yochabo, and it says, Be'erev Tochul Matzahs for the Tomei and Derech Rechoka. In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah spells out both categories. At this point, many of us may have already forgotten the opening question that didn't receive an answer yet. Moni Masnisin, who is the author of our Mishnah? The Gemara will demonstrate now how, at first glance, it doesn't appear to be any of the Tanoim that we have seen. E Rabbi Yehuda Chometz Stamo Komar Filu Denochri. Rabbi Yehuda mentioned in the source that Chometz She'ofer L'Pesach Pesach is Usser. Didn't mention who was the owner of it. He simply said Chometz Bein Lifnei Zmano Bein L'Achaz Mano Over Olof Belav. Chometz in general. And when we say in general, afilu de nochri, even chometz owned by a nochri throughout Pesach would be forbidden to eat. And our Mishnah allowed that. So our Mishnah doesn't seem to be like Rabbi Yehuda. V'i Rabbi Shimon, and if you were to think that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, well, the Yisrael, we're at the top of the Chof Ches. The Yisrael Nami Mishra Koshori. He allows the chometz she'ofer l'pesach Pesach behanoa. He allows one to benefit from it, and yet our Mishnah forbade the chometz of a Jew she'ofer olov ha-Pesach. Our Mishnah said b'shel Yisrael osur behanoa. Rabbi Shimon said otherwise. He says that only chometz bismano is osur, but not lefnei and not la'achar zmano. The Rabbi Yossi Aglili And if you were to think that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yosef Gli, afilu toch zmano nami mishra koshoi bano, Rabbi Yosef Gli is much more lenient than our Mishnah. He says, Rabbi Yosef Gli mentioned that you're allowed to benefit. You're not allowed to eat from it, but you're allowed to benefit from chometz even during the holiday of Pesach. Whereas our Mishnah pointed out that chometz of a Jew is osir b'hano. According to Rabbi Yosef Gli, there doesn't appear to be any isir hano with regard to chometz. So at this point, then, we don't see an author for our Mishnah. The markings show us a house form on the side of the more under the Mivneh. These represent Tshuvos, Lashela, Moni, Masisin. These represent answers to the question of who is the author of our Mishnah. So the first answer, and you'll notice it's a long answer, Omar Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, Le'olam Rabbi Yehuda Hi. Our Mishnah is in conformity to Rabbi Yehuda, and the stringency of Rabbi Yehuda, namely that Chometz is Osir, Bein Lifnei Zmano, Bein Achar Zmano, is only going on Chometz of a Yisrael. And once again, only Jewish-owned Chometz is prohibited after the holiday. That's Rabbi Yehuda's real opinion, and that matches the Mishnah. V'yolif se'or da'achila, mi'se'or de'ri'ya. And he learns the laws regarding se'or is chometz vis-a-vis eating, from the laws regarding chometz with regard to ri'ya, which literally means seeing, but it refers to chometz and its possession thereof. Just like with regard to the Sa'or, where the Pasuk says Lo Yera'e, it says Lo Yera'e Lecho. And from this we learn, you're not allowed to see or be in possession of Chometz, your own Chometz, but Chometz that's owned by others, or that's been sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, you are not in violation if it happens to be, let us say, in your domain. So that's as far as Sor de Rio is concerned, the issue concerning possession of chometz or seeing chometz. That's the restriction is only regarding your own chometz. Af Sor de Achila, so too when it comes to the chometz that's usher to eat, Shelcha Yata Echel, if it's Jewish owned chometz throughout Pesach, that's what is forbidden to eat after Pesach. Well, ata uchel shel achirim v'shel gavoah. However, chometz that was owned during Pesach by a Gentile or had happened to be sanctified, that you can eat after Pesach. Ubedinhu de'boye lei lemisna. And technically speaking, it should have stated in the Mishnah dafilu b'achilo nami shori, namely that even eating wise, the chometz of a goy, of a nochri, of a Gentile, after Pesach, is allowed to be consumed. Well, the Mishnah didn't mention that in, we'll say in black and white terms. The Mishnah spoke about benefiting. But technically speaking, the Mishnah could have allowed even the eating, not just benefiting. Benefiting is something that involves, let us say, selling the chometz and benefiting from the money here that you receive in the sale. Here we're going even further. You're allowed to actually eat the chometz. So the Gemara points out the Mishnah could have made mention of the actual eating. Let's read that again. Ubedinhu diboyele lemisna dafilu bachilo nami shori. Technically, the Mishnah could have mentioned that chometz of a nochri after Pesach is permitted to be eaten. The Aidi de Ton Yisrael also b'hano, but since the Mishnah taught that Jewish-owned chometz is forbidden even to benefit from after Pesach, Tona nami de nochri mutar b'hano. So, to maintain the balance of the teaching, where the emphasis was on benefit, so when it comes to teaching about the Nochri, the Mishnah mentions the chometz of the Nochri, one is allowed to benefit from. However, technically you're not restricted to just benefiting, you're actually allowed to eat it as well. Ubedinhu deboyele lemisna, and technically speaking, it could have taught, dafilu betoch zmano mutter bahano. that when it comes to the chometz of a nochri, one is allowed to benefit from it during Pesach. The Aidi Detona d'Israel Achar Zmano, but since the Mishnah was emphasizing Jewish-owned chometz after Pesach is forbidden to benefit from, where you have an extreme stringency, the prohibition of benefiting even though it's after Pesach, Tononami d'Nochri L'Achar Zmano. Therefore, when it spoke about the Gentile, it also spoke about L'Achar Zmano. But not to infer that only L'Achar Zmano is the Nochri Chometz Mutar Bano, when in fact L'Achar Zmano, even Toch Zmano, the Nochri Chometz is Mutar Bano. Rava Omar L'Oilam Rabbi Shimon Hi. Rava says that our Mishnah is in fact Rabbi Shimon, and that Midoraisa, from a Torah standpoint, even Jewish-owned chometz will be mutter achar zmano. V'Rabbi Shimon knosa konis hoyil v'ovar olea b'bayiro b'bayimotzei. And Rabbi Shimon, in terms of the Mishnah, is mentioning that chometz of a Jew is usur after Pesach, but that's only midrabbanan, as a fine that's levied upon the violator, for he violated the Torah warning of Bal Yeroev, lo yirah lecha chometz. So that we saw Rabbi Shimon in the Braisa that was speaking on a Doraisa Torah level, and he mentioned that before and achar Pesach lo avolav klum, there is no Torah level violation. The Mishnah that spoke about a prohibition was speaking about a prohibition of Chomei Shavuot Pesach on a rabbinic level, an additional rabbinic stringency. Bishlamo l'Rava, things work out better according to Rava, things sound better, smoother according to Rava. Hainu dekotoni, we can understand the expression in the Mishnah that said, Shel Yisrael Osir, the Jewish-owned chometz is forbidden, based on a fine. As Rava had explained, that the Jewish-owned chometz that was owned through Pesach is forbidden because the owner had violated lo yeroe lecha during Pesach. So as a fine, we say, you know, that chometz is now forbidden to benefit from after Pesach. Elo l'Rav Acho bar Yankiv, that set up the Mishnah according to Reb Yehuda, and the Mishnah had used this, had said, Shel Yisrael Osir, because it says, Shelo Yera'eh, lo Yera'eh, that's not what the Mishnah should have said. But rather, Mishum lo yoichal chometz miboyalei. According to Reb Yehuda, chometz of a Jew she'over lo v'pesach is osir me'ikir hadin. That means based on the letter of the law. So when referring to the chometz of a Jew she'over lo v'pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the pasuk of lo yochal chometz would have been more appropriate to cite more than lo yera'eh, because there's an actual pasuk that of the Torah that tells us that chometz of a Jew she'over Pesach is also according to Rabbi Yehuda. So should it not have said lo yochal chometz? The Gemara answers, mi savris aseifa koi. The citation of the pasuk in the Mishnah that says she'emar lo yera'eh, who says that's going on the case of the Jewish chometz? Aresha koi, the pasuk that was cited in the Mishnah of Lo Yera'eh is really a throwback to something earlier in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah had said that chometz of a Gentile, of a Nochri, she'over lo v'pesach is mutter. V'hochi ko'amar, and thusly we should read the Mishnah. Chometz shel Nochri she'over lo v'pesach mutter b'hano. The chometz owned by a Nochri, and now you're after Pesach, is allowed, is permitted to benefit from it. one, a Jew, is allowed to benefit from that chometz. Shemishum shenemar, the pasuk says, lo yeroe lecho, shelcho yata roe, only Jewish owned chometz is that which is prohibited. Avalata roya shel achirim v'shel gavoa, but chometz that was owned by Gentiles or by the Beis HaMikdash, that is not restricted. V'yolif sa'or d'achila mi'sa'or d'ri'iyah, and that which we say the chometz of a Jew is aser, that is a function of our learning the sa'or of achila, the prohibition of chometz with regard to eating, from the chometz that we learn, or that's associated with the isser of seeing or owning. And as we said earlier, the pasuk, when it comes to yiro'eh, it says lo yiro'eh lecho. Jewish-owned chometz is that which is forbidden to have. Likewise, the chometz that's forbidden to eat, and when we speak about eating, we're talking about eating after Pesach, it's only the chometz of a Jew that was owned during chometz is forbidden after Pesach. We find ourselves in the middle of a discussion, but because we're in the context of the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, even though we've actually spilled over quite a bit, we'll have to pause over here. But before we sign off, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.